Always glad you're here, Kathy. All
right. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm going to go around and name everyone. No, I'm not going to do that. So thank you for being here. It's we had a really fun time yesterday over at Hannes and Laurie's place. Anybody remember lawn darts?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know the original ones, the pointy things that are heavy that you throw up in the air, they don't come down in your skull. We didn't have any of those incidents, but we came close. Kind of cool, yeah. One did somehow inadvertently end up on the garage roof. Kind of a, yeah. No damage was done, though. So that was a blast. Thank you guys very much for that. That was the women's group, but a bunch of men were there, too. For the food, yeah. And the lawn darts, of course. So today we're going to continue in the book of Hebrews. We've got Hebrews chapter 5 today. And if you haven't been here with us for the book of Hebrews, this is what Hebrews is about. Jesus.
Ooh.
How's that for easy? It's actually kind of about the supremacy of Jesus. It's about saying, you know, there's all these other religions and ideas and rules and rituals and philosophies. Nothing even comes close to Jesus. None of that stuff works. None of it gives you rest. None of it gives you peace. Jesus is the answer. And also the whole idea that Jesus is the key to unlocking the Bible. If you don't understand Jesus, you're not really going to get what the Bible is about. And if you don't have a relationship with him, it's really hard to get much out of it except some wise sayings. So that's what Hebrews is about. You got that? Kathy has it. Thank you, Kathy. I'm glad you finally got that after 6 weeks in Hebrews. Well, this will be our sixth, I believe. Yeah. So let's read the scripture. We'll pray. We'll bring the drama team up to dramatize something. Yeah, why not? Let's do that. Oh, and thank you for the chicken. That was really awesome. Thank you so much. And everything else up there that I'm going to now eat as soon as I'm done with this. Hebrews 5, New Living Translation. Every high priest is a man chosen to represent other people in their dealings with God. He presents their gifts to God and offers sacrifices for their sins, and he is able to deal gently with ignorant and wayward people because he himself is subject to the same weaknesses. That is why he must offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as theirs. And no one can become a high priest simply because he wants such an honor. He must be called by God for this work, just as Aaron was. That is why Christ did not honor himself by assuming he could become high priest. No, he was chosen by God, who said to him, "You are my son, today I have become your father." And in another passage, God said to him, "You are a priest forever, in the order of Melchizedek." While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as the perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And God designated him to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. There's much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Just saying. You know, if the shoe fits. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through their training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today to hear your truth and to let it sink into our hearts. Lord, we need your truth to guide our lives. We need your healing to get us back on track so that we can see you clearly, so that we can love each other, and we can learn from you, and we can love you and know you. Lord, we seek you this morning. Help us to hear from you. Help us to feel your presence and your touch in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The problem is that we don't know what we're doing when we approach God. God is way bigger and smarter, and I mean, you know, he made us, for Pete's sake. I mean, can you make a zebra? Anybody here know how to make a zebra? Not me. No, uh-uh.
Just take a horse and paint it black.
A horse? Yeah, maybe.
A little horse and some paint, you're good to go.
We could whitewash an elephant. No, let's not go there. All right, so apparently we all need a little help in approaching God too, because we don't speak God very well either. I was telling Mel yesterday, it's like God and people is like, I don't know, trying to teach an ant algebra. It's kind of over our heads. So even approaching God, we can get ourselves into big trouble, you know? If it's just us on our own. So God set up this whole crazy system back in the days of Israel where he had high priests, right? And these high priests were basically intercessors between us and God to keep us from getting into too much trouble. As many of you know, I used to work head of security down at Pioneer Courthouse Square in downtown Portland. And I saw a lot of crazy things, and occasionally I had to arrest somebody. So I found myself in court waiting for my turn to testify on the latest craziness. And one day this guy, whose case was ahead of mine, got up there in front of the judge, and he was obviously a couple sandwiches short of a lunch, and was trying to get his lawyer to understand his position so that he would tell the judge just exactly what he wanted him to tell him. The thing is, what he wanted to tell the judge was not what the judge needed to hear to really judge the case properly. And so the guy got really frustrated with his lawyer and said, I don't want him, I want him out of here, I want to do this myself. And the judge says, hey, you have a lawyer, you need to let your lawyer do this, or you need to get a different lawyer. And the guy says, well, I don't want him here. I don't want a lawyer at all. I don't want you to appoint me a new lawyer. I want to be my own lawyer. To which the judge says, you have that right, but I just want to let you know that a man who represents himself has a fool for a lawyer. And boy, was that the case. I'm sure this guy ended up in jail because he couldn't even get past the logistics of the court. He was in danger of coming into contempt with the court so that he would get arrested just on that, let alone all the stuff he was trying to justify to the judge. So anyway, my point here is that we don't understand all the things of God, and it helps to have someone to interpret those things for us. It helps us to have someone who can represent us when we know what we want. God knows what he wants for us, but those things don't always meet in the middle. So God did this for us. He set up priests. And Nat, you want to put up that first slide? This is about the high priest. Every high priest is a man chosen to represent other people in their dealings with God. He presents them gifts. He presents their gifts to God. He offers sacrifices for their sins. And he's able to deal gently with ignorant and wayward people because he himself is subject to the same weakness. That is why we must offer sacrifices for our sins as well as theirs. Is that really the slide I had first?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this person called a priest is assigned by God to make this bridge. I've got another more of a bridge on it somewhere. There we go. That's the bridge of the gods. I thought it was appropriate. to make a way for the things of God to come to us, the way for our things to go to God, and for God to deal gracefully with us, because God is holy. Holy meaning set apart. Holy meaning pure. Holy meaning good beyond what we can comprehend. So the role of the high priest that God appoints over his people is to do those things, to represent us, to bring sacrifices on our behalf. Okay, we mess up, right? We're not that holy thing. So because we mess up, back in the beginning of time, God said that the consequences of sin, the wages of sin is death. So if that's the rule, then we mess up, we die. We don't want that to happen. God didn't want that to happen. He made us. He loves us. So he set out a way for us to kind of cover that so that we wouldn't have to die. Unfortunately, they took animals in the place of people. She's our resident animal lover. Not that we all don't love animals, but... So there was death required, so the priests would offer a sacrifice to cover sin. Unfortunately, this was really only a temporary covering, and people continue to sin, and people continue to have to sacrifice, and the priest would even have to sacrifice for his own sins, because, hey, he's a person too. And so it's a thing that went on, and it really wasn't what God intended. It really wasn't perfect, but it was a start. It was a way of God pointing to what could be and what he was trying to fix. And what he was trying to fix was this sin problem. Next scripture. Yeah, Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is our high priest because he is the one who can fix it. The only one who can fix it, the only one who can really do the office of the high priest in the way it was meant to be from the beginning of time. See, every high priest is a man chosen to represent other people in the dealings with God. He presents gifts and sacrifices for their sins. He's able to deal gently with ignorant, wayward people because he is himself one. Jesus wasn't wayward. He didn't have to sacrifice for his own sins, so he could sacrifice for ours. People who do the job, it says in this scripture, are chosen by God. They didn't choose themselves. In the days of Moses leading people through the wilderness, it was an entire bloodline. It was a whole family, Aaron's bloodline. And they were basically chosen by their birthright, and God set that up. God taught them the rules of how to deal with the sacrifices, of how to do it all appropriately, how to take care of every little detail. And they were very careful about it because, well, when they didn't, people dropped dead. So they were kind of careful about that. But again, they were only pointing towards our perfect high priest. So this, if a priest is a mediator between God and people, this bridge, then Jesus is the perfect high priest. He's the perfect bridge. And he was a different kind of high priest because of who he was. Paul makes it really confusing in this verse because he says, Psalms 110, the Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So what does that mean? Well, I could start with the obvious. Jesus is a priest forever because he lives forever. He's eternal, so he could be a priest forever. Okay. But what does it mean to be in the order of Melchizedek? And that one's even more confusing because there's like one scripture where Melchizedek appears. And that is... Awesome. Where'd you get that? Yeah. Okay. Melchizedek appears... there's been this battle, okay? Abraham is in the wilderness. His brother Lot has been living in Sodom. And all these kings around are going to war. And one of them goes in and takes over Sodom, and in the process takes Abraham's brother Lot away. And all his children and his wives and all his possessions go with him. So they've been taken in battle, and they run off into the wilderness along with a theme song, apparently. Violins, please. All right. It's a sad story, really. We should cry about it. Anyway, Aaron goes out after them. Abraham goes out after them with a bunch of his men and brings back his brother Lot and brings him back home. And so out of the blue, this guy appears. This guy Melchizedek. And here's the scripture, Genesis 14.
Yeah.
It's there somewhere.
That's it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it is 17. Right. So after Abraham returns from his victory over what's-his-face and all his allies, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sevah, which is to say the king's valley. Appropriate place to meet, right? And Melchizedek, here he is, the king of Salem and a priest of God Most High, brought Abraham some bread and wine. Bread and wine, does that sound familiar? Go ahead. Melchizedek blessed Abraham with this blessing. Blessed be Abraham, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has defeated your enemies for you. Then Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had received. That's the story. That's what we have to go on. When he says, I've made you a priest in the line of Melchizedek. Okay then, so we gotta dig a little deeper. So let's start out with this whole bread and wine thing. Does that point to Jesus or what? I mean, the high priests of Aaron's time, right? They'd be sacrificing critters. But no, he brings wine and bread. Next thing is, like, his name, okay? Back in the days of Israel, names really meant something. And so you were named something, either hopefully of what you were going to be or what you really were. And this guy's name means King of Righteousness. King of Righteousness. Who can claim that name but Jesus, really? But King of Righteousness. And righteousness means obedience to the laws of God. Doing things the right way. Wow, he's the king of it. Okay, so he appears out of nowhere, he's the King of Righteousness. Okay, that can point to Jesus really well. So what else is he? He's the king of a town named Salem. The Salem means peace. So he's the king of peace. We've heard Jesus called the Prince of Peace. He's the king of peace. Then again, the town of Salem is also Jerusalem. It is Jerusalem to be. So he's the king over Jerusalem, the holy city of God. And then he is priest of God Most High. Before Aaron's priesthood, a priest comes out of like nowhere, and he's a priest of the Most High God. It's amazing. So when Jesus is a priest in the line of Melchizedek, he's a priest who comes without a whole generational line of priests before him. He comes as a priest of God, given that title by God, something he didn't ask for, it says in this scripture. Something that God put on him and bestowed on him. Melchizedek is definitely a foreshadowing of Jesus. He might even be Jesus as a Christophany, you know, a Jesus appearing before his birth. We don't know. But all the signs point to who Jesus would be. As we go further into Hebrews, we learn more about Melchizedek and how this relates to Jesus, but that's not my scripture, so I'm going to leave that for some of the other people to preach on later. For now, I'm just going to look at what kind of priest it was that Jesus was meant to be as a high priest. He's in the order of, or in the cause of, Melchizedek, which I take it to mean he stands for the same things. Peace, righteousness, holiness, obedience to God's law. You wrote a number on the back of one of my pages, Mel. How am I supposed to know? Okay. Yeah, so I'm completely lost. So let's go back. Let's go to the next thing here. Okay. While Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleading with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence to God. It wasn't just because of who he was, although who he was a big deal. Jesus was the Son of God and God himself. But God also listened to him because of his deep reverence for God, his obedience to God, his willingness to lay aside his own life for the cause, which is us. Jesus cared so deeply for us that he cried out to God with tears. He suffered for us through his entire life. He put aside the kind of life that a normal person would have and took on this craziness that went against all of Israel to the point where they finally crucified him. And he did that willingly. And that qualified him to be the high priest for us. It also qualifies him to be a true friend. Somebody we can love, somebody we can trust, someone who can make the relationship between us and God personal. A mediator in court, a judge in court, is not a personal mediator. A mediator will stand between two people and try to keep themselves out of it. I remember doing this between my dad and my sister. They were at war with each other, and I was trying to bring them together. And I spent a lot of time trying to get them, this person to quiet down enough to listen to that person and let them speak, and then let this person quiet down enough to talk to that person, and then to try and help them to tone their words down and to say, is this what you're saying? Yes. Okay, is this what you're hearing? Yes. And I tried to keep myself emotionally out of it, because if I'd have gotten entangled in that, I'd have been in the fight. And there would have been no peace at all. There isn't really now, but there was for a time. But Jesus, he's on both sides. He's fully God and fully man. He was born into this world. He did normal things that we do. He suffered the normal things that we suffered. He suffered the loss of people who died that he cared about. He suffered probably sore muscles when he worked in the carpenter's shop. He probably grieved Joseph when he died, his earthly dad. He went through these things and he suffered. And because of that, we know he understands us, he gets us. And because then he was willing to lay that down, even though he wasn't guilty of any sin, that made him something else. He was the only one that could give a sacrifice for us that was himself, that was perfect enough to end this craziness with having to let everything die, having to sacrifice animals, because he was the perfect sacrifice. He ended sacrifice for all time because he was sacrifice for all time. I hope I'm being clear enough. I don't know, because my notes are a mess. So let me get to the last part of the verse, because that's interesting. It's always fun when someone calls you a baby, right? Go ahead and move that thing forward and see what else I've got here. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what's right. Paul is saying, look, I keep preaching this stuff, the simple stuff, the easy stuff, the stuff like baptism, that we're going to get into that next week. But here's all these easy concepts, and because you're not even getting them, I'm afraid you're not getting what I'm telling you now about Jesus, because this is bigger. This is the stuff you should know by now. This is the foundation, the reference point. And you're not digging in. You're not listening enough. You're not trying hard enough to understand. And so I don't know. He's saying you can't even understand the difference between right and wrong if you don't get this stuff. I have nothing to build on if you don't take time to get deeper. I don't know about you, but my soul rebels sometimes about getting deeper. I want to do something else. I want to go water skiing. I want to read a book. I want to do something else rather than spend time in the Word and learn more about what God wants me to learn. And I can be a real baby sometimes about it. But if I don't dig, I'm never going to understand beyond these crazy basics, these hard things, to understand the good stuff. You know, this stuff about death and sacrifice are the basics. When we get beyond that, we get to the exciting part. We get to the part about how much God loves us and how we share that love. We get to the part that makes the Christian world enticing. We get to the part that makes being a Christian worth doing. Because we get to the part where we fall in love with our high priest and we fall in love with the God that made us. And we become something different. And we learn to fly. We get to participate in the feast. And we get to eat more than milk. We get to eat meat. So hope that isn't too scrambly. I'm numbering my own pages next time. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for sending Jesus, someone who understands us and cares about us and wants us to be whole, someone who can please you in every way. And we just ask you to teach us more and more about him and more about who we were meant to be and how we were meant to be like him. Just thank you for who you are, and I ask your blessing on everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.